All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles tonight and spend some time in the Scriptures. Luke tonight in your Bibles, Luke chapter 17 this evening, please. Luke 17, this is another, if you will, Thanksgiving passage or a Thanksgiving lesson. It's got more in it than just that, but the Lord was making a point here about being thankful. And so we're going to read this tonight. We're going to read Luke 17, 11 through 19 for our text tonight. And here it reads, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off." So as he's going into this village, he meets these people. This is not a parable. It's a real incident. This happened, okay? And he's telling about it right here. Verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I believe he got something the other 9 didn't get. He was not just healed physically, he was made whole. And I believe that takes care of the spiritual part, salvation too. Amen? He was made complete, he was made whole, and he had faith. The Lord knew he had faith because he said he had faith right there. Amen? The one that came back. I want to just preach to you tonight on the thankful one. The thankful one, and I hope we certainly will try to be, if nobody else is, we'll try to be the thankful one. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, direct us. Just give us clarity of thought and speech tonight, and your spirit to speak to our hearts. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything going on right here, Jesus is giving response to the critical Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees, who were supposed to be the leaders of the people, and they are, the Lord, and of course Luke included that story in at this point, but if you got your Bible, you know, letters in red and all that, you see Jesus is talking, and he's responding to the Pharisees. In fact, I think it's back in chapter 15, look at this real quick, 15 and verse 2. 15:2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, okay? They're doing what? Murmuring against the Lord. And then in chapter 16, verse 14, look there at chapter 16 and verse 14. "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him." So what I'm getting at is this. Everything the Lord's saying and doing here is in response to the self-righteous Pharisees, their criticism of him. So whenever the Lord talks about this one Samaritan being thankful, that goes back to these people who were not thankful for their spiritual gifts. They were not thankful for their spiritual heritage. They were not thankful that the Messiah had come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that the hero of the story was a Samaritan, that burned them even more because they were prejudiced against Samaritans. And and the Lord did that with the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan as well. Now, again, I believe this is a real incident. I believe that probably the other 9 were Jews, just because this one is pointed out as being a Samaritan. Not sure about that because we're not told. But I believe there's a reason for this one being pointed out as he was. But he was the one that was thankful to what the Lord did for him, not these Pharisees, not these religious leaders. They were more about their self. They thought they were the solution to, and they were the answer to every issue and every problem. And they were covetous, they were envious, they didn't want Jesus around, right? So they criticized him, they derided him, it says here. And they were just ungrateful that God had sent his only begotten son. He went into his own, that would be those Pharisees, and his own received him not. Well, this Samaritan did receive him, and this Samaritan glorified him, worshiped him, and thanked him. The thankful one was not one of these religious Jews. The thankful one was not one of the ones that would call themselves the most spiritual. It was one of the ones that the most spiritual would look down on. Aren't you glad the Lord loves us all? Amen. We're all equal with him. Amen. And I thank God for that for sure. But let me point out several things about this one. This one got some help. Amen. This one got some help. The others, they got some help, but they took it for granted. And they didn't go back to say thank you. And boy, that was a big deal, by the way, to get that help. And they didn't go back and thank the Lord. They were so excited about it. But this one took time to go back. Now, let me give you a few points tonight, a few things tonight. Number one, I'm going to say this. They all reverenced the Lord. Number one, they all reverenced the Lord. It says that they stood afar off. They reverenced the Lord. They gave reverence to the Lord. Now, you know that by law in those days, lepers were outcast of society. If anybody was to come near their leper camp unawares, those lepers were to cry out, unclean, 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 meaning don't come near here. If you get near us, you might pick something up here. You know, so everybody today ought to say, I got a cold, stay away, amen, right? I got a cold. So you know what they did? They reverenced the Lord with their probably their 60-foot COVID rule, you know, right? 6-foot, you know, is what we had, right? But they might have had more than a 6-foot, and they would say, unclean, unclean. They reverenced the Lord in the sense that they cried out to him, but yet they stood afar off. They didn't try to just go up to him and touch him with their leprosy or breathe on him with their COVID or, you know, whatever like that. They were keeping their distance. They were being respectful and not trying to share what they had. Amen? You've heard people say that. I don't want to share what I got, right? Well, they didn't want to share it. They reverenced the Lord. But can I say this? They called him Master, and they reverenced him in the sense that they believed he was the remedy for their problem. Jesus and Jesus alone can save your soul, forgive your sins, and take you to heaven. Amen? The Lord ought to be reverenced in our heart and life as well as the one. He's the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that deserves the praise and the worship. He's the one ultimately that deserves all thanksgiving. Now, we ought to be thankful to everybody. You know that. But the Lord certainly deserves that above all else. So they believed that he was the healer. They believed that he was the one, and they looked to him with reverence as their answer as they went to him in this day, and they called him Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's reverence. You know, when you go to God in prayer, you might say, Lord, I want you to have mercy on me. Lord, I want you to forgive me. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I want you to help my friend. And you go before the Lord with a reverence. Don't you believe you ought to go to God in the sanctuary, in the church house, in the prayer closet? You ought to approach the throne of God, even though it's the throne of grace. It ought to be approached with reverence. Amen? We go boldly, but that doesn't mean we go irreverently. He said to come boldly. That means just come with confidence and come and don't say, God, I don't want to bother you today. Nothing like that. But they went to the Lord and they showed him reverence and by the way, unlike who? The comparison here, the contrast would be to those religious Pharisees. They didn't reverence the Lord. They derided him, it says. They murmured against him. They griped and complained against him. They were covetous and envious towards him. They didn't reverence him at all. These lepers did. Thank God, all ten. They reverenced him. They called upon him with reverence. Now again, leprosy, by the way, in the Bible is a type of sin. Leprosy ruins lives. It ruins families. And it was a barrier between you and anybody else. So you know sin ruins lives. Sin ruins families. Sin is a barrier between us and God Almighty. They stood afar off. They had to stand afar off. Folks, we don't need to stand afar off once we get the sin out the way. Amen? We can come close to the Lord. We don't have to stand afar off. We don't have to follow at a distance. We can follow closely to Jesus tonight. Amen? Why? Because we've confessed our sins and got the sin out the way, and we've been cleansed and made whole. And we can go to the Lord and get close to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Like John there, the beloved, up close to the Lord there, the Lord's Supper. He could be close to Him and He loved Him. I'm glad we can be that way today. Amen. You ought to reverence the Lord. They all reverenced the Lord. Let me say this, number two. Number two, they all prayed to the Lord. They all cried out, Jesus, Master. That's respect. That's reverence. Have mercy on us. That's a prayer. They believed that they had heard about Him, the great physician. They had heard about Him, the healer. They had heard about Him, the one from heaven. They had heard about Him, the Messiah, the Son of God. And they prayed to Him. And by the way, the Lord didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, well, you ought not pray to me. No, He always received this kind of... He received worship. He received prayers. Why? Because He's the Son of God. Now look, they lifted up their voices, it says. They lifted up their voices. They stood afar off, lifted up their voices, cried out to the Lord. They all reverenced the Lord. They all prayed to the Lord. You know, all other efforts had failed them. Doctors had failed. The priesthood had failed. All they could say was, you go out there, outside the city, to the quarantine camp. We'll try to keep an eye on it, try to watch it, watch out for it. And nothing else we can do for it. If you ever, by some miracle, get healed or some treatment works, you go show yourself to the priest. And that's what He told them. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. That was what you had to do. If you had any touch of leprosy and it went away, you had to go to the priest, and the priest had to look you over. The Old Testament law gave a long list of regulations that they had to go through before they could declare you as clean or healed. So that's why He told. So what He told them to do, go show yourself to the priest. That's all He said to them. And when they turned and went, they got healed. Amen, right? But anyway, he was trying to just send them there in the right place. But they cried out to the Lord as if He's the great physician. You ever pray for somebody and say, Lord, I want You to heal them. Lord, I hope the doctors can help. I hope You show the doctors what to do. But Lord, I pray You'd relieve their pain. I pray, Lord, You would touch their body. Amen. Why? You're the great physician. Don't you pray like that for people? I hope the doctors can do it, you know. Do you ever get frustrated with the doctors, you know? I've been talking to a lot of folks about this lately. I tell you, doctors used to, you'd have yourself a doctor and they'd figure you out. Now they say, I want you to go see this specialist. And that specialist says, I want you to go see this specialist. And that specialist says, I want you to go see that specialist. And then you got 10 people and nobody's working to figure you out. How do you know that, preacher? My wife's been through it this year, you know, going through all that. That's how it works now. My dad said the same thing the other day. He's frustrated, you know. That's just how it goes. Sorry, doctors. I'm sorry to say that, but that's sort of the way it works these days. Did you used to have a doctor that would work with you and try to figure you out? I say sometimes just get in the hospital and they'll figure it out. I know this because I watched one or two of those hospital medical shows on TV. And they will figure it out, and within 30 minutes, you're done. You're great. You're good. But the reality is, within 24 hours, they're saying, you go home, we need that bed. Well, I'm griping. I'm complaining right now. This is supposed to be Thanksgiving, amen? But anyway, that's the way it is. But all I'm saying is they prayed to the Lord because they got help nowhere else, right? And they reverenced the Lord and believed that the Lord was the one who could help them. I'm glad, folks, that when you call out to God, like these people called out to the Lord, these needy, desperate souls cried out to the Lord. He heard them. He cared for them. And He took care of them and healed them. Amen? Thank God that prayer worked. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen? And that's exactly what they did right there. They were desperate and they were needy and they all prayed. So they all reverenced the Lord, stood afar off and respected him. They all prayed to the Lord. Let me say this, number three. They all did what he said. As they went, they were cleansed. Obedience brought the blessing. Amen. You ever figure that one out in your life? If you rebel against the Lord, you're not going to get the blessing. If you obey the Lord, you'll get the blessing. Right? The Bible teaches that, and life teaches that. Amen. They did what the Lord said. Now, again, what he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, soon as they obeyed, they got healed, right? You know, again, he told them what the Old Testament law required. He didn't explain it. He just said, go do it. You know, sometimes whatever direction the Lord gives to you, you need to just do what he said. Now, you may not understand it, but you need to do what he said. Amen, right? Follow the Lord. Well, I don't understand that, Lord. That doesn't make sense to me, Lord. They didn't say, well, why do you want us to go to the priest? Because one of them is a Samaritan. I don't know that all of them really understand why he's telling them to go to the priest. You and I know that's the Old Testament law. And the Lord knew that was the Old Testament law. The Lord could have said, be healed. By the way, there were cases when the Lord would touch a leper. Nobody touched a leper. There were times when the Lord would touch a leper and heal them. In this case, the Lord didn't say any, he didn't touch them. He didn't say be healed. He just told them, go see the priest. And they did what he said. And when they did what he said, they got what they needed. When you don't know, and again, I don't know that all of these understood really why he said do it. But the point is, they didn't argue. They didn't say, well, I don't understand. Why should I go to the priest? I'm coming to you. We heard that you were coming this way, and we cried out to you, and we're asking you to do something. Why are you sending us to the priest? They might have said, look, I already been through this with the doctor. I mean, the doctor sent me to the specialist, and that specialist sent me to that specialist right on down the line. And now here you are, I come to you, and you're telling me to go to the priest. They didn't argue. Again, they reverenced him, they respected him, and they did what he said to do. Don't argue with the Lord. Don't reason with the Lord in that argumentative kind of a way. Do what he says. Obedience brings the blessing. Amen, right? And we see that many times in the Bible, and we see it right here. So even when you don't understand what the Lord's telling you to do, you just do what the Lord's telling you to do. And you leave the timing in his hand, you leave the outcome in his hand, right? You just let God handle all of that. So they reverenced the Lord. All of them did. All of them prayed to the Lord. All of them did what he said. They obeyed him. Let me give you number four. They were all directed by the Lord. Again, they were given direction by the Lord. They were all directed by the Lord. They were all told, go show yourselves to the priest. They all were given direction by the Lord. And they all obeyed that direction. You know, here's what I'm getting at with this, folks. People need direction. And let me say this. You know who needs to give it to them today? Well, right here, Jesus gave it to them. And he gave it to, get this now, he gave it to them according to the scriptures. He didn't just heal them. He told them to go to the priest. It was a scriptural thing, right? People need direction from the Lord. You know where they're going to get it from today? Soul-winning Christians like you and me. You know, we heard about this some the other night in the testimonies. God uses different people to reach different people. I love to hear those testimonies. Amen, right? And you think about who God used to reach you. They gave you direction. And where did they point you to? They pointed you to Jesus and the gospel. You know, anytime you invite somebody to church, you're giving them direction. Go show yourself to the priest. Hey, go talk to the preacher. Go to the church. Here's a gospel tract. Read this. Let me show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. What are you doing? You're giving direction. Isn't that what a soul winner does? And by the way, who was the best soul winner? Jesus. Jesus gave... See, all of this is a picture. Leprosy is sin, and them getting healed is a picture of salvation because they did what the Lord said. The Lord gave them direction. When somebody gave you the gospel, you know, Paul talked about those that obey not the gospel. Aren't you glad you obeyed the gospel? You didn't do like those Pharisees and say, hey, I'm religious, I'm okay, I don't need Jesus. No, no, no. You said, I do need Jesus, I receive him, accept him by faith, right? You were given direction by somebody. Your parents, a Sunday school teacher, a co-worker, a relative, a soul winner, right? You were given direction to the Lord, and you, that got you to the right place, according to the scriptures, the word of God, right? You know, if I was to say, hey, folks, if y'all just all keep doing the best you can, just keep trying to be nice to everybody, and just show up to church every now and then, and if you want to go try another church of some other kind, it's all fine. It all gets us to heaven. I'd be lying to you. I'm not giving you direction that you need if I said something like that, right? And a lot of people go to churches, and that's the kind of direction they get. But that's not according to the scriptures. That's not leading them to the gospel, the only one that can save their soul, right? If I was to say to you, you know, somebody says, well, look, I'm of this sort of church, I'm of this faith, and I know it's a cult, and they say, well, will that get me to heaven? If I say, well, all roads lead to heaven, I'm not giving direction. He said, go show yourself to the priest. That was scriptural. He told them what they were supposed to do. Folks, when we tell them, go to Jesus, we direct them to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, gospel-centered church. We're giving them the right direction. Amen? You're being a soul winner when you do that. You know, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen? Somebody, by the way, somebody told these people about Jesus. Somebody told these lepers about Jesus. Let me give you this right here real quick. Why should we be a soul winner? Well, one reason is because people are going to hell and we need to win them. People are on their way to hell and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus, right? You know another reason you ought to be a soul winner is because Jesus wants you to. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know another reason you ought to be a soul winner? Because Satan doesn't want you to. And anything Satan doesn't want me to do, I ought to be doing. Amen? He says, don't go to church, don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't witness, don't give a gospel tract, don't invite anybody to church. Hey, anything the devil says that I shouldn't do, I should go do it. Amen? There's a reason he doesn't want people to hear the gospel. There's a reason he doesn't want you to give direction. There's a reason he doesn't want you to be a soul winner or a witness or even try to be a soul winner. People are going to hell. We need to tell them. Jesus wants us to. The devil doesn't want us to. How about this one? The joy of soul winning. You know, the Bible tells us there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy in the presence. That's in heaven. You say, do people know what's going on the earth? I tell you this, if a relative gets saved, I think they get a report of it. And there's joy in the presence of the angels, and I think the people around them. You know, I think they have a rejoicing fitting up in heaven when somebody on earth gets saved. You know what? We ought to be happy about it too if somebody gets saved. Amen. We ought to rejoice. And I'll tell you what, if you lead somebody to Christ, you ought to be rejoicing. I don't shout in church, but I will say I've shouted in my vehicle a few times after I had the privilege to tell somebody how to get to heaven. They said yes, amen. There's joy in that right there for them and you. There's some joy in this thing. I think you ought to be a soul winner because it's the mission of God for the church and for every individual Christian. It's the mission. It's the reason he left us here. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, right? Have you given a gospel tract? Have you invited somebody? Have you witnessed to somebody lately? It's the mission of the church and every Christian, right? We ought to be a soul winner because it'll keep us clean and on the right track ourselves. Hey, if you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus, you got to make sure you've been living right too, right? You don't hardly go talk to somebody about Jesus and say he'll straighten out your life and they can point a finger at you and say, well, you need him too. Now, it'll keep you living right. It'll keep you straight. It'll keep you on your toes and conscious of your testimony, right? I think we ought to do it because it brings spiritual cleansing and blessing like it did to these 10 lepers right here, especially one of them. The thankful one got a little more, amen? What am I saying? I'm saying they were all directed by the Lord. Well, you and now they need to be directed to the Lord by you and me. That's what we're left here to do. Amen? Hey, they all reverenced him. They all prayed to him. They all obeyed him. They were all directed by him. And let me give you one final one, number 5. Only one thanked him. Now we're getting to where he wanted to be. Amen. Thanksgiving, right? Only one thanked him. One of them, it says, came back. One of them, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, doing what? Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? So one, now everything I've said about so far, by the way, is all. They all reverenced, they all prayed, they all obeyed, they all were directed by the Lord, but only one gave thanks. Only one came back to worship him. Only one took time to glorify the Lord. You know, it's kind of like Christian people that don't think it's important to worship the Lord in private. They don't think it's important to worship the Lord on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. You know, I think this one guy put worship as a priority. He said, you know what, this is important. I got to get to that priest. I got to make sure this is a done deal. But I'm going to go back and say thank you first and glorify the Lord for what I've seen. He's already healed me. Just because we cried out to him, I'm already healed. And that one was a Samaritan. What does that mean? It means he was unlike those Pharisees. He was thankful. Unlike those Pharisees, he worshiped. Unlike those religious Pharisees, he was humble enough to receive Jesus and worship the Lord. You know, if we're self-righteous, then we don't need the Lord. We're not going to say thank you to the Lord, right? And we're not going to glorify the Lord or worship the Lord. Now, again, the fact that it pointed out he was a Samaritan, you know, again, that means Jesus loves all of us. Amen. He loves everybody, unlike a Pharisee. A Pharisee doesn't have compassion. A Pharisee doesn't care about other people. Now, to be Pharisaical today, we're self-righteous, we look down our nose at other people, we're critical of other people, we're not following the Lord's direction, we're not grateful to Jesus, right? If we're Pharisaical, then we are our own solution for everything, and we don't need the Lord. So we don't want to be like a Pharisee in that sense, right? You say, well, they're religious. That's all they were, was religious. They were religious, but they were lost. One, poor Samaritan, a poor needy soul, this one realized something great has happened. Folks, do you ever think about your salvation and say something great has happened here? You ever said, it's only by the grace of God that I'm going to heaven. Something good is going on here. Amen? Hey, we ought to worship the Lord. We ought to give him the worship that is due his name because he's the Savior. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved tonight. We're in church tonight. We're here to worship the Lord tonight. We want to say thank you, Lord, my Savior, tonight. And we want to come back and bow at his feet like this man did. Only by the grace of God. The others, they just kept going. This is wonderful. This is great. They wanted to get to their family. I understand that. They wanted to get to the priest and get this thing official. I understand that. But I also understand this guy, the one that was thankful. He was humble enough to go back. He had faith. And the Lord said, your faith has made you whole, not just cleansed, not just healed. I think, again, he got more. And he made priority of worship. You know, when a person gets saved, worship becomes a priority in their life, doesn't it? The Bible becomes a priority. Prayer, church, Christian service, heaven. Amen. It's not just about this world. It's about the things of God and the next life with the Lord. Amen. When you know you got it, when you know you've been healed. So let's tonight, folks, let's say, you know what? I don't know about the other 9, but I want to be the thankful one. I want to say, thank you, Lord. I want to take the time to be still and know that he is God and let him speak to my heart. I want to be the one to be a testimony for him this week. I want to be the one that he uses in his service. Amen, right? I want to be the one that doesn't gripe against him, but the one who glorifies him and worships him and thanks him. Amen. Y'all good with that tonight? You want to be the thankful one? He's a great example for us. He was a great example for those other ones. But they weren't paying attention. They didn't take heed to it. like they should have. But I hope that you and I will. The thankful one. Let's determine that that'll be us. Amen? That'll be us this week. And I tell you what, they all got a blessing. He got more of a blessing. He got a double portion, didn't he? He was made whole. He got a double portion. He got physical and spiritual healing. Thank God for it. Would you bow your heads tonight with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your practical lessons in your word, Lord. And God, I pray you would just use these points tonight from your word to encourage our hearts, Lord. God, we need to do all these things, but we also need to be the ones that are thankful and grateful and worship you, Lord. God, help us, as we did emphasize one point tonight, Lord, that we're to be give direction to other people, to be witnesses and soul winners and examples. And I pray, Lord, you'd help all of us in that area as well. Speak to our hearts this evening, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, before we take time for prayer, let's sing a song and worship the Lord once again. All right, let's stand and do this tonight. Y'all want me to talk a little while longer? They're working on a song over here. All right.
Amen. You're already standing, so we'll get right into it, won't we? 56 in your hymnals. 56. His name is wonderful. 56. And we'll sing both of those verses there. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything, His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thanks to those who have watched us tonight and those that are here. We're going to take some time to give prayer requests, maybe even some praise items, and thank the Lord tonight. Amen. I want to be that